real confusing up here, all right? We got our own 5K. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Miss Caitlin. I appreciate you. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter number 10. Acts chapter number 10. Praise the Lord. Kind of exciting for those of you that's bought into the focus on your one. There's been a lot of prayers going up, and we're starting to see the fruit of some of that. And it's very exciting, at least it is to me. And I believe we're seeing fruit elsewhere, too. I believe that one of the things that, I've always noticed in visitation, Brother Scott, you can testify to this, but you go out on a visit and wouldn't necessarily lead anybody to the Lord, but come in on a Sunday morning, they'd be people in the church, first-time visitors. And through this and through our prayers, I've noticed that visitors, man, this morning we had a crowd here this morning. I don't know the count, but there was quite a few people here this morning on a balcony. A lot of people are going up to the balcony now trying to get away from me. And I told them, somebody was sitting up in the balcony today, and we were texting after church, and they said, "Preacher, I was up in the balcony." And I said, "Well, I can't see up there anymore." Y'all, I'm sorry. My eyes is getting bad, and but anyhow, it's old age. It's old age, all right. But anyhow, I can't hardly see up there in the balcony, so y'all go up there to hide or whatever. And but anyhow, it was a blessing to see so many folks here this morning. A lot of that, I believe, is just the Lord honoring our efforts to win the loss and praying for the loss. And man, what a blessing it's been. Trying to do some things. I've tried to change some things of how I'm doing. And I send out letters. I send out handwritten notes to all of our first-time visitors. And it's taxing at times, but it's something that I try to do, just a personal note to them saying, thank you. And if I can remember something about meeting them, I'll add that in there. Or if they shared a prayer with me or something of that nature, I try to add it in there that I'm praying for them and that I prayed for them that day. I always pray after I write it that, I pray for them that day before we send it off and everything else. So I've added to that. Now I'm trying to call every one of them, or at least text them. Not necessarily call, but I do try to text them personally and just say, "Hey, thanks again," and everything. And the Lord's been blessing that. And, man, it's just been exciting. And I get on Facebook. How many of you know Facebook is of the devil? Amen. And that's great, because I'm going to use that as an illustration tonight. But anyhow, I get on Facebook. I got this today. Somebody sent me a contact for somebody, and I wanted to check on somebody, and I didn't have their number in my phone, didn't have a way to get a hold of them. So somebody said, "Look, I got their number, and I'll send it to you." So they sent me, they shared the contact with me, and I put it in my phone. And when I got on Facebook, this happened at the church, and when I got on Facebook, I got on Facebook, put there what happened this morning and everything, and I hope y'all read that post. A lot of times we get in a church and we don't realize what all has taken place in a day. You realize that God really was moving. I mean, there was all kind of things that was going on. And even afterwards, some of the things that I didn't share, people calling and texting and different things like that I can't share. But anyhow, a lot was going on this morning. Anyhow, I got on Facebook to put that down there, and I had this thing on there. It was a suggested friend. And guess who it was? The stinking contact that somebody just sent me. Government spying on us, y'all. Is everybody all right? Better be careful what you put on there. I mean, my suggested friend, Brother Sheldon, was a contact that I just added to my phone. Started thinking to myself, man, I better not be telling them how many guns I got. But I got to thinking about that thing, and I got to thinking about that suggested friends. And I don't know why it stuck with me, but that's what I'm going to title the thing tonight, suggested friend. We look at Acts chapter number 10, and what we say, what's the book of Acts, y'all? Come on, if you're in my Sunday school class. It's a transition book. And as we see this, we're transitioning from Judaism, which was directly and strictly to the Jews. Now we're transitioning to the Gentiles. We can see it into the main characters. You have Paul and Peter. Peter begins Acts, the book of Acts, and Peter's your main character. And of course we know Peter was used very greatly to reach his brethren, which was the Jews. Jesus even told him, when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. And so that's exactly what he did. In Acts chapter number 2, we see him preaching Pentecost. And 3,000 people getting saved. What a blessing. Paul is introduced to us, or we find Paul in Acts chapter number 8, but we come across Paul's conversion in Acts chapter number 9. After the conversion of Paul and him getting his start, and I say this about Paul, Paul got saved and immediately started proclaiming the gospel. Help me now. Paul got saved and immediately he started proclaiming the gospel. He started preaching immediately to whomever would listen. So much so that the Bible said the Jews wanted to kill him. Is everybody all right? Lord help to have some witnesses that made people mad. We don't have any witnesses like that. We go back at the end of chapter 9. We go right back to the story, back to Peter. Because we're transitioning. So we're not all the way in this thing. We're moving little by little. We're transitioning. We get to chapter number 10 and we meet a Gentile by the name of Cornelius. Cornelius was a centurion. That means that basically he was over 100 men. The group that he was over was called the Italian Band. And they didn't play guitar. Somebody say amen. This was a garrison, army garrison type, if you will. And so he had a great responsibility. But he was a Gentile. But the Bible tells us that he was a devout man. The Bible tells us that he was a praying man. Verse number 2 of chapter 10, it says he was a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. I mean, he didn't know God, but he had a sense of him, and he knew that he needed him, because the Bible says he feared him. The Bible says that he was very charitable, and the Bible says that he prayed to God always. We'll go on in the scripture, and I'm going to read from verse number 24 down through verse number 33. I wanted to read the whole chapter, but it's 48 verses. And I want us to get into this thing. But the Bible says in verse number 24, and on the morrow, after they entered into Caesarea. Now, Caesarea was where Cornelius was at. And Peter here is going and traveling to see Cornelius. He's going for a purpose. Cornelius had a vision, and in that vision, God said that he was going to send somebody by the name of Simon Peter to him. Peter had a vision, and he seen in his vision that he was supposed to go with some men that was going to show up at his house, and he was going to a man named Cornelius to show him the gospel. So Peter, in verse number 24, is entering into Caesarea, where Cornelius lives. The Bible says, and Cornelius waited for them and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. Not only was he excited about learning about the Lord, but he got some other people involved in it too. Verse number 25, and as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. There was a lot that Cornelius had to learn right here. But Peter took him up, saying, stand up, I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, you know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God hath showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying. That means without argument. That means as soon as I heard, as soon as I was shown, I came to you. All right? He said, as soon as I was sent for, I asked therefore, for what intent ye have sent for me. Now, Peter already knew why he sent for him. So this was a reason, this was something that would make it clear to everybody else the purpose of why Peter was there. And let me say this, it helps when that purpose is made clear beforehand. The Bible, is everybody understand what I'm saying? It wasn't one of them things he was catching anybody off guard. By the time Cornelius got through telling them what was going on, they all knew that Peter was there to share the gospel. Verse number 30. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner, by the seaside, whom when he cometh, shall speak unto thee. Immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. I'll stop reading right there. As I said, I'd love to read the whole chapter. It's a beautiful thought. Peter here comes because he had a friend suggestion. Cornelius accepts Peter because he was a suggested friend. As I look at this, I think about this. There's many people that God is going to put in your life, and he's going to place on your heart, and it ain't just for you and I to ignore, but it's a suggested friend that needs what you and I have. Is everybody with me? The fact of the matter is that we put our ones up on the cross, but they aren't the only ones that need saving. We've put our ones up there because we know them and we're familiar with them, but we're going to come across in life all sort of people that God has placed in our life and placed in our path that needs the gospel. And as we pray for our one, and as we try to win our one, God is going to test our obedience in sharing the gospel with others. Because it's not about you. Somebody say amen. Y'all always say amen there. But it ain't just about your one either. The fact of the matter is there's many out there that need the gospel. And if you and I aren't going to share the gospel with them, then they are going to die and go to hell. And I'm going to go ahead and throw this out there. Some of us will find out that we had the opportunity and failed to share the gospel. That's a scary thought, to think that one day I'll stand before God and he'll reveal to me somebody that he placed on my heart that I ignored his prompting or leading, and now they're burning in hell because of it. All because I was disobedient. As I look, I want to talk about these two men, and I want to talk about, I forget what key word I was going to use, but I got five characteristics. How about that? We'll go with that, and we'll see how it goes. But as I look at it, I want you to notice first off with me the prayers of both men. The prayers of both men. If you go back in the beginning of chapter number 10, you'll find out that Cornelius was praying and begging God to show him or reveal himself to them. Now, can I say this? There's a lot of people that you and I come in contact with. They may not know God by name. They may not know the gospel. But they are looking for an answer for their situation. They may not know how to pray the prayer. They may not know how to pray it in Jesus' name. But they are looking for something. They are needing God to show up and show them something. So as you go about your day tomorrow, realize that the people that you come in contact with, they are searching just as much as you are looking for God to save your one. They're searching for God to reveal to them or to bring somebody into their life that will reveal to them who he really is. We not only see the prayers of Cornelius, but we see the prayers of Peter. The Bible tells us that the vision that came to Peter while he was praying. Is everybody with me? So we see a lost man, he's praying to know God, and we see a saved man that's praying because he knows God. Can I say that a lot of people aren't being reached, and maybe our ones aren't being reached because our prayer life is not what it should be? We put that prayer thing on there, and I had people contacting me and say, hey, what do I do after 30 days of praying? You keep praying. The fact of the matter is that we got to continue on. It's not a process of I just pray a little bit, and if God don't answer my prayers, then, I guess it wasn't meant to be. The fact of the matter is my wife can attest to this, there was many prayers that went up for my salvation. There was time that it took for prayers. My mama can attest that it took time and many prayers went up for my father before he got saved. The problem with most of us, can I help? Is everybody all right? I know I'm getting back onto some Sunday school stuff here, but we don't pray with the intent for God to use us. And therefore, if we went through our day, and I just can't get over this, God's helped me with this, my day and my prayer should be that God would fill me with the Holy Spirit. Because if I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, then I have the mind of the Holy Spirit, which is what? What did Jesus say the Holy Spirit was going to do? He was going to bear witness. He was going to bear witness of what Jesus had taught and what the Father had said. So if I'm full of the Holy Ghost, then guess what's going to happen with me? Come on, y'all, help me now. I'm going to bear witness. You know why most of us have a problem with bearing witness? Because we're not filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us that we're to pray without ceasing. We think that's where we got to pray. Well, I'm going to get that new job, I'm going to have to pray without ceasing. I'm going to get that raise, I'm going to have to pray without ceasing. If I'm going to get that new car, I'm going to have to pray without ceasing. If I'm going to get that new house, I'm going to have to pray without ceasing. If I'm going to get this, I'm going to get that, I'm going to have to pray without ceasing. I don't believe that's what that verse is for at all. I believe the praying without ceasing is this. I think that the Lord wants us to pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit without ceasing. We sit there and say, well, I can't go through a day without God, but yet how many of us do? Come on now, let's get real with one another. We say we can't go without God. You testify in front of everybody, I can't live without God. But how many days do we go through our life without having God? Go through a whole day, never pray. Go through a whole day, not read your Bible. Go through a whole day, maybe even a whole week. The praying without ceasing, I believe, is to pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit. Because if I have the filling of the Holy Spirit, I'll be obedient to the things of the Holy Spirit, and I will proclaim or bear witness as the Holy. That's what the Holy Spirit's here for. Come on, y'all, help me now. That's my job, our job. And it comes through prayer. You see, both of these men, they had a characteristic of prayer. One was praying for God, wanting to know God. The other one was praying because he knew God. The question tonight is, what's our prayer life? What's our prayer life? That suggested friend, Miss Caleb, Peter would have never known about Cornelius if it hadn't have been for his prayer life and God revealing it to him. Is everybody all right? That means that those people that you and I come in contact with, without the filling of the Holy Spirit, without a prayer life, they're not going to be revealed to us. Am I making sense? Are y'all getting it? Do you realize that there's somebody that needs you? And if you don't, you may not even recognize it because of our prayer life. Well, the Holy Spirit didn't tell me. Did you? Was your prayer that morning that the Holy Spirit would? Is your prayer throughout the day that the Holy Spirit would reveal that to you? We put a lot on. Well, you know what? We put a lot on the Holy Spirit that I think should be placed squarely on us. Put a lot of blame on him. Well, he didn't lead me to talk to him. Really? What was leading you that day? Well, I seen him, but he didn't lead me to talk to him. What was leading you that day? Now, before you say, well, the Lord leads me all the time, I want you to think about that now. We see the prayers of both men. Preacher, how am I going to do this? How am I going to reach my one? Through prayer. Through prayer. Say, well, what if they don't get saved? Keep praying. But don't just pray for them. Pray for you. You don't need more money. You don't need a new job. What you need is a filling of the Holy Spirit. Because with the filling of the Holy Spirit, more names are going to be revealed to you. More people are going to be revealed to you. As we go through this, I see the prayers of both men. Not only that, but I see the preparation of both men. Both of them had a vision. God showed Cornelius. It was through prayer, but he was preparing him. And he told Cornelius in that vision, hey, that he needed to send men to Joppa. Verse number 5. Send men to Joppa and call for one Simon whose surname is Peter. God was preparing him for what he needed. And what he needed was the gospel. What he needed was a preacher. Before we got going and saying, well, I'll give him your name, preacher. What Cornelius needed was somebody to proclaim the gospel. And God prepared him through a vision and said, hey, there's going to be somebody that's going to come across your path today. Or you're going to send men to Joppa and they're going to go and find Simon Peter because he can help you. Peter, on the other hand, the Bible said, while he was praying, he had a trance. And in that thing, the Bible says he became hungry. I'm going to say, there's a lot I could say right here, but God gave him a desire. God got him moving on something. Oh, Peter got hungry, and then that sheet came down with all them animals on it. Remember? Right here in Acts chapter number 10. That sheet comes down, and God tells Peter, arise, kill, and eat. I need somebody to say amen. Don't tell me. Is everybody all right? God told Peter to get up, to kill the animals, and to eat. I say amen. Matter of fact, I'm kind of excited about that. There was all kind of four-footed beasts and all this other stuff on there that by Jewish law was unclean. And Peter said, no, Lord, not so. He said, I've never ate anything that's unclean. I've never ate anything that's common. And God made this statement. He said, don't call thou common what God hath cleansed. Call not thou common. See, Peter in his mind, this gospel was only for certain individuals. Cornelius needed it, and he needed somebody that could reveal it to him, and God said, there's a Christian. His name's Simon Peter. Simon Peter prayed, and God gave him a vision to prepare him, and he said, Ray, what I've cleansed, don't you be calling common. Peter couldn't understand it. Why? Because his mind didn't function that way. As far as Peter was concerned, the gospel was still only to a select few. God said, there's some men coming, they're going to show up at your door, and they're with a man by the name of Cornelius. He said, they've sent for you for a purpose. And it all came together for Peter. See, Peter realized, is everybody all right? Preparation here. Preparation of both men, Peter realized, but it took preparation. And it took a long time with God for him to realize that everybody needed to hear the gospel. Come on, y'all. Everybody needed to hear the gospel. It wasn't just for my one, and it wasn't just for my friends. Peter learned that it was for everybody now. But that was only through preparation. You know what happened in preparation? Peter got the mind of Christ. He got the heart of God. And he started to realize that just because you put Jew on the front of it, or Gentile on the front of it, or white man on the front of it, or black man on the front of it, or Mexican on the front of it, or Japanese, or Chinese, or Italian, whatever, that they are all important to God. Whether they have money or don't have money. Whether they dress right or don't dress right. Whether they have a job or don't have a job. Whether they have a home or don't have a home. Whether they're sober or whether they're drunk or high. Miss Lucy dealt with one that was this morning about coming to church. High as a kite. Miss Lucy said, I tried to get her to church. I said, bring them on. Is everybody all right? They need it more than most that sat in here. See, the problem with us, one is our prayer, but the problem is most of us don't have the heart of God. And that only comes through preparation, through prayer, and through a long time with God. When you and I get alone with God, all of a sudden people start mattering. Why? Because that's all Christ came for. To seek and to save, help me right here, that which was lost. That was his mission. That's why he came. That's why he died. And if you're going to sit here and call out and say, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, then it only makes sense that we give the gospel to whosoever. We see the preparation of both men. We see, number three, the practice of both men. Now, I like this because Cornelius, he goes and he prays. God prepares him with a vision. And then, verse number 33, we read, the Bible says, immediately, therefore, I sent to thee. I noticed that these two men had very similar practices. When God revealed something to them, they were obedient and they acted upon it. Because God revealed to Peter that there were some men coming. And the Bible says that Peter went down and received the men. They lodged that night, and next morning they took off for Caesarea to accomplish what God sent for him for. Is everybody with me? So, not only did these men pray up, not only were they prepared, but when prompted, their practice was to obey. Could you imagine how our day would go If we started it off in prayer and asked for the filling of the Holy Spirit, prepared our hearts to give it to whomever God revealed to us, and then once that happened, be obedient and act upon it. Come on, y'all. This is good whether you like it or not. It might not be your kind of sermon, and it might not be. I don't know. Y'all are acting dead tonight. I don't know why. But in this story, we see how God was transitioning to get the gospel to everyone. He did it through prayers. He did it through preparation. He did it through obedience or practice of these two individuals. See, Cornelius needed something, and he never would have got it if he hadn't have sent somebody to Peter. Peter had something, but he never would have gave it if he wasn't obedient to what God had revealed to him. And I want to show y'all something that you might have missed, but the men showed up as Peter was getting the vision. It just so happened it was a day after Cornelius had a vision. The point is this, it was in God's timing. Perfect timing. God revealed something to Cornelius. Cornelius acted upon it. And God waited a day before he revealed it to Peter. But he revealed it to Peter at just the right time. I could have added this as another point, the prompting of both men. Because it was right, exactly the right time in God's timing. What are you saying? I'm saying you're going to come in contact with somebody that's praying and asking God, please reveal yourself to me. They're prepared to receive it from somebody. They desire it so much that they'd be obedient to it. The problem is, on the other side of that, we don't have Christians that are praying. We don't have Christians that are prepared. And we don't have Christians that are practicing what we know to be the truth of God. We see the prayers of both men. We see the preparation of both men. We see the practice of both men. We see the proclaiming of both men. Cornelius knew he had a need, but he didn't know what it was. Look at verse number 33 at the end of it there. He says, now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Cornelius didn't know what he needed, but he knew he had a need and he was willing to share it. You may run across somebody tomorrow that ain't going to say, hey, I need somebody to show me the Romans Road. But they have a need, and if you'll listen, it's being communicated. I'm struggling, if you will. Hey, maybe it'd be something simple as this. Hey, Lord laid you on my heart. What can I pray for you about? And it might be through a simple prayer for somebody that it's revealed to you that they need a whole lot more than just a prayer for their family. And so we see the proclaiming of both men. One of them said, Cornelius said, hey man, we're all present. We're all sitting here waiting to hear what God's told you. Because we want to know. But on Peter's side of it, on the Christian side of it, what did Peter do? Well, let me tell you. If you'll start reading in verse number 34, you'll find out that Peter took them through the life of Christ. He talks about him being sent. And how he came to die for everybody. He talks about the crucifixion and how he was slain, how he was buried, how he raised again, how he was seen of the witnesses after he resurrected. So Peter wasn't listening to me. He didn't take him down to Romans Road. Y'all help me now. He didn't take him down to Romans Road. He just told him what he knew about Jesus. We're so stuck on this thing, and it's probably my fault. I'll go ahead and take full responsibility right here. It's probably my fault that I put way too much emphasis on leading somebody to the Lord with the Bible. Now, I still believe it's the Bible that saves. But if you go through Scripture, you'll find out Peter just told the story of Jesus. He didn't say, let me quote you this verse, let me quote you that verse, let me get over here in this passage of Scripture. He just told what he knew about Jesus. And that was that Jesus came, he lived a sinless life, he died for all of mankind, he was buried in a tomb, 3 days later he rose again, he was seen amongst many, amongst 500 men, and he's ascended unto the Father, and he will come back for us. That's what he told. Paul told it like this. I was traveling on the road to Damascus. Got knocked off my stinking horse. Big old bright light shined up there in heaven. And all of a sudden a voice came out and said, why are you kicking me, man? I said, Lord. He said, yeah, I'm Jesus. The one that you're persecuting. He said, I died for you and I loved you. Paul said, what can I do? He said, I'm glad you asked. Is everybody all right? It's Paul's story. Paul wrote the Romans Road, and he didn't say, let me get over to Romans chapter number 3, verse number 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, you got to remember that verse. Quote it, keep it in memory. No! He said, let me tell you what happened to me. Let me tell you what happened to me. Somebody needs to tell them about what happened to you. Somebody needs to tell them that there's a God that died for them. But that's not going to happen if you and I aren't obedient. If you and I aren't willing to proclaim, how are we going to proclaim? We've got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. How do we get filled with the Holy Spirit? We've got to pray. See how every one of these goes back to the other. We got to pray. We got to prepare our hearts. Then we have to be obedient in our practice. And then we got to proclaim what we know. And lastly, we see the proof of both men. The proof. I don't know if this is a good one, but I think it was. I believe what God revealed to Peter, what God revealed, let me say this. Let me start over. What God revealed to Cornelius was that he was faithful when he had a need. Cornelius had a need. God showed up, provided with a need through Peter. What did Peter learn out of all this? That anybody, no matter how hard, no matter how difficult, anybody can be saved. You know what that ought to teach us? That one that we work with, I ain't never going to get saved. God can save them. That family member that you got up there on that cross and that you're praying for, this story ought to let you know this. God can save them. God can save anybody. If he can save Cornelius, he can save anybody. Cornelius had no privilege to the gospel. But God said, I'm not going to keep you that way. And God sent somebody to him. And God is sending us. There's some people out there ain't never heard the gospel. And God, you have the knowledge of it. Got to pray up. We got to get our hearts prepared. I realize everybody has jobs. But eternity is in the balance. And your job may be the avenue that God uses for you to reach somebody. So we got to be prepared. And we've got to practice. Got to put it into practice when prompted. We have got to put it into practice. Say, preacher, I don't know. I'm shy. Bible says that in Acts when they were filled with the Holy Ghost, that they spoke with, help me, Sunday school class, They filled with the Holy Spirit. They spake with. I'm shy. No, you're not filled. I'm not good at it. No, you're not filled. I'm scared. No, you're not filled. Why? Because when you're filled, you speak with boldness and you bear witness of what's inside of you. That's good stuff. We proclaim. And then we'll see the proof of it. Hey, your one's been on that cross. You still praying? Is that prayer a little old quick? I wonder this week, why don't we try? I'm going to challenge you. This week, let's go through every day praying for the filling of the Holy Spirit. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Help me now. Forget about all that other stuff. It'll come when God, on God's time. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. If I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, I believe there'll be some opportunities for me to proclaim the gospel. If I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, I believe I'll be prepared to reach out to whomever. If I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, I'll be able to proclaim what I know. Everybody with me? I'll be able to proclaim what I know. And I believe we all filled with the Holy Spirit. We'll see some proof come in next Sunday of what God can do with somebody filled with the Holy Spirit. Help me, y'all. There's some suggested friends for you that you're going to come in contact this week. God's going to put them in your path. What are we going to do with it? She's coming to the piano, heads are bowed. Why don't you come around the altar? Start the thing off tonight being filled with the Holy Spirit. Start tomorrow being filled with the Holy Spirit. Pray without ceasing throughout the day that the Lord will fill you with the Holy Spirit. Maybe there's somebody you're going to come in contact with tomorrow that's going to need you. They need to hear the gospel. It's going to be another day, another opportunity missed, another regret, another I should have, another I wish I would have. But maybe tomorrow we'll get filled with the Holy Spirit. I did. The Lord revealed, and I acted. Maybe this time next week we can share testimonies about how God worked in our lives this week for the furtherance of His kingdom. How lives were changed simply because we were submissive and allowed Him to fill us. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love You. Lord, thank You for today. Lord, thank You for, Lord, seeds that were planted. Lord, I thank You for lives that were changed. Lord, we've seen folks saved here. Lord, we thank You for that. Lord, we see baptisms here. Lord, we thank You for that. People joining the church. People excited about what's going on. God, we want to thank You for that. Lord, tonight, Lord, come to the place where we take the church outside the walls. Lord, that we take our knowledge and what we know and prepare our hearts through prayer Lord, that we may be able to put in practice and proclaim what we know. God, that we may see proof, like, Lord, we may see fruit from it. God, I thank you for tonight. Thank you for the faithfulness of the Lord, your people. God, I ask you, Lord, to go with us, Lord. May this sermon stay on our hearts and on our minds. God, may we apply the truths of it to our hearts and minds. Be obedient to you. See the fruit of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. I want to say this to you, and I want and we're done, but when it comes to success at soul winning and witnessing, you cannot base your success on those that get saved. In other words, if you share the gospel and somebody doesn't get saved, that does not mean you're a failure. Success is measured for a Christian and a witness in sharing the gospel. The fact of the matter is that the people that gets, that's God's work. I can't do it. The only thing that I can fail at is not sharing. Success is not based on the number of people that get saved. Success is based on the number of people that I share it with. If I share it, I can't fail. They may not get saved, but that's not mine. That's not my responsibility. It's the Lord that saves. It's them that have to be, them that have to receive it. I'm completely out of that. The only measurement of success in me is in me sharing it. Lord, we thank you for tonight, Lord. As we go our separate ways, I pray you bless us in Jesus' name. Amen.